Attention. Attention. News of the day. Five Latin American leaders meet with Carter in Panama City, Panama, to talk in firm terms about the reduction of arms purchases in Latin, Central, and South America. These nations include Costa Rica, Colombia, Venezuela, Panama, and Peru, still considered to be bastions of some democratic form of government. Also, there was a proclamation on human rights, though the news noted that Carter is making much less in tone about his human rights matters. Carter said, we cannot afford to lose our friends in Latin and Central and South America. We will pledge continued economic assistance to maintain the fraternal goodwill that we now have. A strong implication of his speech was that I am in enough trouble trying to protect the interest of the exploiters, imperialist multinational corporations in the USA, sucking the blood of Africans, so I would sort of like to placate South America and not get embroiled in any disputes. Fidel Castro accuses the CIA in a rare news conference with US media. He shows photographs, tape recordings to prove that the CIA are involved again in covert activities against the Cuban people, but more directly inside Angola. He repudiated USA charges that he was the responsible force for liberation in Africa as being degrading and racist towards the black people of Africa. Zaire, 1,000 rebel strong, gather again in Nueke, just inside the Angolan border, in what appears to be a new thrust attempt in Dishaba, their own land. The Katangan rebels do not give up easily. USA is crying for peacekeeping contingency forces to be increased. Dictator Mobutu Sese is also calling for USA direct support. Presently, the United States has been, according to BBC, bringing in 1,500 of its own troops. BBC says the USA commander has been placed in charge of 1,500 USA troops outside of Lumumbasha, in spite of USA denials that no USA troops are present. Presently, most of the peacekeeping has been maintained by the poor soldiers from Morocco. Now there's a call on the United States by Carter, calling on the military-industrial complex for an all-out defense of exploitation of the Zairean people. USA pressing Israel on occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip because USA has had to give concessions to Egypt. It passed a referendum giving Anwar Sadat, Prime Minister, dictatorial powers in Egypt. USA needs Egypt support badly in Zaire, where so many mineral riches are at stake. A heavy tornado overturned a vessel in a lake in Kansas, 60 people on board missing at this time. The tornado did upwards of millions of dollars of damages, other loss of life, but at this time there's been no statistics on the effect. China, mainland China, with good domestic sharing policies for its own people, but chauvinism in its foreign policy to the point of renegade running with the imperialist, an outright lack of U.S. imperialism and the trilateral multinationals, gives the highest honor that it has to the King of Spain, a fascist who served willingly under General Isimo Franco, an open ally of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. This special honor was always in the past reserved for only the special Marxist-Leninist friends of China. Gabor, Togo, and Senegal have been manipulated by USA to send some of their starving troops from those troubled neocolonial lands, the few that still remain in Africa, into the Zairean conflict. President Ceausescu enters into more negotiations with the USA and Britain to try to normalize relations in Europe before he says we find an outbreak of war. The Soviet bloc, the Warsaw Pact, have used President Ceausescu as their moderate peace dealer. President Ceausescu of Romania has relations both with Israel and Arab nations, the only communist nation to do so. There's a tax revolt so serious in the United States that Carter is appealing to it by trying to get the House to deny 8 water projects necessary for urban centers that are being plagued with contaminated water in the United States. However, the House overrode his veto in spite of the president threatening that the public will have their day by voting the congressman out of office. The tax revolt in USA, as I told you, is based on a racist platform, so it's nothing for people to take heart who are our background. Radio East Berlin International, the voice of free communist East Germany, said the Portugal Parliament has banned the use of the neutron bomb in spite of USA intimidation. Strong protest from Portugal also, the Parliament in a clear two-thirds majority demanding that South Africa must abandon Namibia. Portugal, in spite of USA intimidation, NATO intimidation, moving more leftward. South Africa used violence today to disperse an assemblage of people protesting the 600 people that had been murdered by the imperialist police of Union of South Africa, the apartheid regime upheld by U.S. capitalism and our tax dollars. This year alone, $457 million poured into that fascist, murderous, racist state, which should cause guilt in every one of our hearts. 60 again were killed today as the crowd was dispersed by chemicals heretofore that had not been utilized by the Union of South Africa and had been imported from USA. International Lawyers Guild denounce South Africa and its policies and Rhodesia. They're sending a special team from both capitalist and socialist countries to examine the inhumane conditions in Rhodesia that is upheld by U.S. and British imperialism, as well as South Africa. Secretary General Kurt Waldheim sharply criticizes South Africa as a racist regime, guilty of genocide comparable to Adolf Hitler, so said the Radio Free Germany. He said they have formed their own illegal electoral list in Namibia and are attempting to breach international law, where they have given their word to honor Namibia in its plight for freedom by the end of this year. USA Congressman Leach, we should know him and make him a part of the team that we invite, take note in the radio room, said the United States has reached such a degree of involvement in Africa that it is outright interference on the behalf of multinational corporations. Chinese decision to halt economic assistance has hurt relations with all of the Chinese allies in Southeast Asia, even the People's Democratic Republic of North Korea, that has been very friendly to us, our delegation, and is being very helpful to Guyana in its struggle now by giving many trade agreements that I mentioned on yesterday's news, that we need to concern ourselves about Guyanese news. We are Guyanese. We will have a more severe test coming because there's less interest being shown. So find yourself in the library and in the bond, the blackboards, taking down, understanding the news, because we have to be informed. The last trader would not study Marxist-Leninism. Without knowledge, there can be no loyalty, there can be no sensitivity, no compassionate dedication to one another. Frankfurt, Germany. In the fascist west part of Germany, under the domination of U.S. imperialism, police attacked 15,000 anti-Nazis protesting a large Nazi rally of some 20,000 strong in the industrial city of Frankfurt, West Germany. The 15,000 were hurt, 6 killed, 70-some severe injuries, and others unestimated at this time damage from the gases used by the Nazi police of the West German Republic. There is an upsurge of neo-Nazi activity throughout the entirety of the fascist Federal Republic of West Germany. There is a fascist and Nazi upsurge in Austria to such a degree that the Vienna Town Council and the government of Austria has banned all Nazi activities because, so said Radio Austria, which is not a socialist nation, it's not in the Warsaw Pact, and it is not in NATO. It is a neutral nation. But the Nazi activity, pro-Hitler sentiment, is so strong in Austria that the government has had to ban all neo, which means new, Nazi activities. 1,100 Palestinians, according to Radio Czechoslovakia, the voice of free communist Czechoslovakia, have been sent to prison without trial under a new repressive law in Israel, including those being sent to jail were children as young as 12 years of age. Soviet cosmonauts have made a new success in establishing platforms in outer space. USA is very nervous about these space satellite platforms because they say that they are the basis for LASAR, which will enable the Soviets to stop any incoming missile from imperialism that would be striking at its homeland. Famine threatens West Africa. 7 million people in the Sahel, countries of West Africa, are once again facing the prospect of famine. Rainfall in 1977 was very, very low, and a repetition of the catastrophe which followed the drought of 1968-74 is very much feared. With harvest this year down by some 60%, the Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO, of the United Nations estimates that nearly 3 million of the total population, which includes Mauritania, Senegal, Mali, Niger, Chad, Upper Volta, will die. The Gambia and the Cape Verde Islands are also threatened with severe food shortages. The United Nations Agency claims that about 457,000 tons of relief grains are needed immediately. USA have been putting up blocks from Soviets bringing planes of food into the troubled areas, saying that it is a Soviet aggressive posture. The herding populations in the northern sections of these countries are the most threatened. Imagine USA imperialism even being threatened by the fact that the Soviets are trying to meet the 457,000 tons of relief grains essential to keep the people alive for the next few months. Memories of the last drought, which ended only 4 years ago, are very vivid. Then at least 1,100,000 persons died, along with 40% of the livestock, which forms the economic basis for the Fulani, F-U-L-A-N-I, the Tuaregs, T-U-A-R-E-G-S, and other ethnic groups in the region. In some countries, such as Mauritania, cattle losses were as high as 90% of the herds. Who could believe that there's a loving God when babies die like this, like flies? The animals died from lack of water and food. Senegal, however, continued to ship animal feed in the form of peanut cake to Europe during the entire period of the emergency due to U.S. imperialism's exploiters in the country when the people were starving from lack of grain. The capitalist holdings of the U.S. multinationals continued to make money sending peanut cake to Europe and America. A dreadful kind of situation. Hard for us to imagine. Hard for us to feel. But we must try. Then we'll keep in touch with the revolution and not give in, as some of you have, to indulgence, lack of work, passivity, not giving your best creativity. Some of you in movies and television programs are there all the time. My purpose for being there is only to interpret or to get away from the radio for a moment, but the idea of being able to spend the entire night and day is beyond what we can accept. We should not be indulging ourselves all night. The television programs will be required for the use of the television to keep it safe that at least a minimum of 15 people be present for any showing. Some herders remain in the usual pastures, hoping the rains will come. When they didn't, some people found themselves stranded far from food and water. Others left their encampments and made arduous treks to the towns and cities, where eventually some relief supplies became available. Sometimes only the men left, hoping to find jobs as watchmen or laborers so they could earn money to buy food for their families. In too many other families, women became prostitutes to get some cash to feed their babies, and people of both sexes and all ages had to turn to begging. It is still common for Europeans and North Americans, USA imperialists in the Sahel, S-A-H-E-L, to encounter an emaciated Tuareg, T-U-A-R-E-G, asking to sell his handcraft sword or other heirlooms now that they know that USA have fetishes for eyes or kidneys. They offer to sell parts of their body so that they can feed their family. Malnourished, weakened children became very vulnerable to diseases, particularly measles, which reached epidemic proportions in many areas during 1972 and 73. Vaccines that could have prevented many deaths arrived too late for inadequate quantities due to USA protest about Soviet intervention. That's why the Soviets have been very determined in their now current stand that they will help those who seek to be liberated. The international relief effort was late in getting underway and was fraught with delays and bureaucratic entanglements. The USA proudly announced it was the largest single donor, but in fact that was a lie. Assistance was hardly given. Some of the food sent from the United States was contaminated with the poisons that killed people in USA. Most of it was already destroyed from rot and had to be turned out to be animal feed and even caused death to some of the animals. Much of it sickened the animals, and none of it helped any of the people. Of course, not everyone suffers when the Sahel has a food shortage. The supermarkets catering to the foreign USA capitalist community and the local elite continue to be filled with the finest imported foods and liquors, while the French restaurants go on serving 4- and 5-course dinners. This situation shows that famine in the Sahel is more than a matter of weather. There are deep historical roots of the food problem as well. As you know, this entire famine was caused by the CIA doing its seed clouding for rain experiments in Africa. More guilt for our tax dollars. The Sahel is a belt stretching across Africa along the southern edge of the Sahara Desert. It is a region of grasslands and sparse forest with sandy soils and a climate of low and often irregular rainfall. The fragile ecology of the Sahel is highly susceptible to soil erosion and desertification, meaning turning into deserts if not carefully and rationally developed. The traditional African herding and farming communities maintain themselves with little, if any, destruction of the zone. The recent and present famines, however, result not only from the caprices of CIA use of the weather and natural weather problems, but also from a prolonged attack on the zone's human and environmental resources by U.S. imperialist forces. From the 10th to the 16th century, the Sahel was the scene of successive African empires: Ghana, Songhe, and Mali. The legendary city of Timbuktu, which at one time had 100,000 inhabitants and was renowned for its scholarship, is in the present nation of Mali, M-A-L-I. Now, it is a small, remote town where almost everything is in short supply. What happened? Imperialism goes back a long way in its colonialistic form. During the 17th to the 20th centuries, the trans-Saharan caravan routes to the east, which had been the economic base of the city, were progressively destroyed by European and North American military expeditions. The slave trade was the opening of trading routes to the southern coastal areas of West Africa. But the destruction of trading routes and the forcible removal of the labor force through slavery were not the only effects of European and USA colonialism. Beginning in the 19th century, France, the main colonial power in the Sahel, demanded that farmers grow peanuts to provide low-cost food for the expanding industrial economy of Marseille, a southern port city in France. Peanut cultivation was expanded after World War I and II, and again during the 1950s. Traditionally, the farmers had grown millet, M-I-L-L-E-T, and sorghum, staple grains. They exchanged these cereals for the milk products and manure, which the herders brought with their cattle during the dry season migrations in search of pasture. It was a very cooperative, bartering type of community. As the peanut areas expanded, however, this set of relationships were disrupted to the nutritional detriment of both farmers and herders because of the colonialist demands for the peanuts to be sent to Europe and America. There were numerous other consequences: less fertilizer, soil exhaustion, the search for new lands. French scientific researchers were put to work developing more drought-resistant varieties of peanuts, while taxation policies forced the farmers to expand into more zones, more arid zones, to get cash to be able to live and pay their taxes to the imperialists, the colonialists. As peanut growing spread northward toward the desert fringe, farms encroached on the nomads, grazing lands. Violence broke out between herders and farmers as they competed for land. The French backed the large bourgeoisie farmers, and the nomads were pushed further toward the desert. This was the situation at the time of independence in the 1960s. Then the national governments, with funds and advice from foreign experts, encouraged the expansion of the cattle herds with the idea of developing an export beef industry to help Europe in its waning days. Vaccination programs and well digging projects added more animals and more watering sites, but not more pasture land. The result was severe overgrazing. Other forms of environmental destruction were also brought about by these policies of capitalism and neocolonialism. Trees, which hold topsoil in place, help in water absorption, and serve other environmental functions, were cut down for firewood and animal fodder on a mass-produced base. During the last drought, the experts claimed the area was overpopulated. In a sense, it was, but the overpopulation was really a result of U.S. capitalistic exploitation. That is the Trilateral Commission of Imperialism's exploitation. More and more peanuts and animals for commercial exchange without any concern for the soil and grasses are the hungering masses that lived in the area. While overproduction was ruining, destroying the soil, it was also destroying the people's traditional means for surviving drought. Because the people had to grow cash crops, they had smaller cereal reserves and that could be stored in their granaries. Throughout the colonial period and up to the present, the building of the infrastructures was neglected. Roads and railroads were built primarily into the peanut-growing areas for the capitalists from USA and Europe, sucking the very lifeblood of the people. Most existing roads are in very poor condition. Consequently, food cannot be quickly transported. As a result of all these interconnected processes, most of the means for resisting a drought had been squandered and turned into profits by one of USA's lackeys, France, Paris, and Marseilles by the time the rains failed in 1968. All the means of resisting drought, funds, the reserves had been squandered by the capitalist. It is now being claimed that the hope for the future lies in a so-called new approach to the area's problems, regional coordination. To this end, two related organizations have been established: the Interstate Committee to Combat Drought in the Sahel, CILSS, and the Club of the Sahel. CILSS has its headquarters in Upper Volta. It is composed of the six French-speaking countries that were formerly under the deepest bondage of U.S. imperialism through the French, the Trilateral Commission exploiting through the French, plus Gambia and Cape Verde, which has had an unbroken drought for the past 9 years due to the CIA cloud-seeking. Guinea-Bissau, GUINEA-BISSAU, has recently applied for the Interstate Committee to Combat Drought. It's applied for membership. CILS has several working groups dealing with problem areas such as livestock, ecology, and human resources. The Club of the Sahel works with CILSS. The club is based in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, headquarters in Paris. The OECD is basically an organization of the leading capitalist countries. An American or European from the club co-chairs with a CILSS member, each working group. Neither CILSS nor the club, however, is able to deal with the social issues behind underdevelopment and exploitation by U.S. and European imperialism. Their work is done within the existing class structure, which never works. A social democratic view, a welfare capitalistic view that never works, trying to solve such major social issues within the existing class structure. There is much emphasis these days on bringing the Sahel more fully into the capitalist market system. By the way, all must know the class structure. Be sure you know it well. Livestock projects are attempting to create a cattle industry directed at the growing markets in the coastal cities of neighboring countries.